Would you pray with me? Jesus, fear doesn't stand a chance in your love. Thank you for that truth. Fear is, it's a liar, it's from the enemy. Jesus, we cast that out in your name as we all kind of wrestle with that in our lives expressed in different ways. Would your word just destroy fear this morning, Jesus, through your love. Amen. Okay, I don't like this question. I'm going to tell you why in a sec because it triggers myself. But I'm going to ask it anyway, all right? On a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you that you are saved and going to heaven? Now, in my experience, this question has been preceded by a fear-based, driven message around how you're going to go to hell, and you better believe in Jesus or else. And so heaven seems like a better option than hellfire and brimstone and eternal torment. Yikes. Your experience may be potentially to be scared into heaven. That may be your experience. I promise you this morning that we're not going to do that, but we are going to talk about something so good and so, like this is a sermon and a gift for your soul, and we're going to talk about the assurance and the protection God has for you as followers of Jesus. And so rather than like this fear-driven approach, I hope, and I've been praying this week, that we feel and are spirit-led to know and understand Jesus' great care and love and protection for you as we continue our series in the armor of God. And we're going to be looking this week at the helmet of salvation. And we'll put up on the screen there, like we'll put up the whole section there, Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. We're going to be looking at verse 17. It's five words of significant consequence. And it just says, take the helmet of salvation. I really appreciate Pastor Jerry's posture, how he's spoken and taught throughout this series, with kind of that prayer and Christ-like mindset when approaching the armor of God. Too often this is taught as if we're engaged in battle with other human beings, and it's used a lot of time just to like weaponize and justify mistreatment of the marginalized, the oppressed, and kind of like, you know, like grab power and whatever issue the church is facing, right, like against other human beings. And again, when you are missing like a Christ-centered taught lens, you can feel free to wave the red flag. When you're missing Christ as the center piece, as that lens you're interpreting scripture through, things can get pretty wonky, like pretty quick. Like I put the barf emoji up there with like examples of like warlike behavior being justified with like really poor biblical proof texts, or other human beings being like mistreated and it's justified with really poor biblical proof text. But we're gonna stay on track this morning. So Paul writes to like the Ephesian church, and he's picturing this Roman soldier, and instead of like, you know, the metal stuff, he invites us to clothe ourselves kind of like in the way of Jesus. The helmet of salvation is not human, you know, worldly victories over our enemies, but it's God's gift of rescue through Jesus Christ. And it's guarding our minds, and it gives us real life hope, like right now and into our eternal future. Again, like these verses here remind us that the Christian's battle is not against people, but against powers, spiritual powers that seek to pull us away from Jesus and each other. This is the way of Jesus that I read about and know in the Bible. Peace-seeking, merciful, praying for others, and responding and interacting with other people with the fruits of the Spirit in abundance. So, slide 101 stuff. Helmet. I like how the helmet illustration is still like good 2,000 years later. It's like, yeah, this is pretty straightforward stuff. Helmet is for protection. We get it. Put the helmet on. You're not going to get the death blow. That's the reason why soldiers wore them. like pretty obvious stuff, like strongest warrior, no matter like how buff you were, right? You had to have that helmet on because a single blow to the head knocks you out. Soldier would never go into battle without the helmet, like pretty obvious stuff. And so Paul takes this kind of familiar image and kind of recenters it around Christ. The helmet for the Christian is like salvation itself. It's the rescue of your soul God has accomplished in Jesus for both now and the future eternity. Salvation guards, like it protects our minds and identity in Jesus Christ. Secure. And there's no power, there's nothing, no power of darkness can ultimately destroy or knock you out. And so, there's lots of like theological interpretations and secondary doctrine that truthfully, like personally, I'm okay wrestling with in debate and tension, with whether like I'm 100% like confident in teaching. This is one this morning that I'm really willing to teach pretty confidently and with conviction. It's sort of like this firm promise God gives you as believers. Gives you as believers that like even when life is hard, Jesus has saved you and he will protect your salvation. Like he's going to protect you. That's why in 1 Thessalonians 5:8 it says this. Paul says this. This piece of armor, the helmet of the hope. There's this hope there. The helmet for the Christian is not sort of like wishful thinking. It is unshakable. The hope of being saved through Jesus Christ. Do you have this helmet of salvation in place in your life? I know we might kind of get some different answers if we're honest with ourselves about that question in this room. Some of you might say like you're hoping to be saved one day. Maybe like you're working on being saved one day. Unsure, like there might be some unsureness there. But this is not the kind of hope that Paul writes or is talking about. That kind of maybe hope is about, here we go, okay. That kind of maybe hope, me and Ashley have talked about this, That kind of maybe hope is about as helpful in spiritual battle as a floppy sun hat that Ashley will not let me purchase for a holiday times. It is flimsy, right? It is flimsy. I'm not allowed to buy these hats every time we go on a trip. I want the big sun hat. But style-wise, I'm not allowed. It's flimsy. It offers no protection. Okay, silly, I know. Right? Silly. Protects me from the sun, but not much else. Silly illustration. But when life actually is hard, where stuff starts swinging at you in a variety of ways, crossroads, your hope isn't meant to be like vague or uncertain, but it is heart-settling and soul-protecting. You can have confidence and assurance. Like biblical hope, Jesus type of hope is firm enough to build your life around. Not flimsy sun hat type of hope, okay? Jesus type of hope does not fail and it stands up to the challenges and the enemy's lies. In our text, Paul this morning, he writes take. That's the first word he wrote there was take. I wrestled with it a little bit because like in my world right now, take seems very like selfish with like toddlers. Like they're always taking things. And I'm like, take. That seems very like selfish to take it. Like, and there's all these translations that say, take the helmet, put the helmet on. If you dig a little bit, like there's an action piece there, but I like what the Greek says, and it says to receive it. So Paul doesn't say like earn the helmet or make the helmet. He says take or receive it because there is this action behind you as a follower of Jesus to accept, to welcome the helmet in. And that one word kind of changes things a lot, right? Like to take or to receive the helmet. We admit that there's nothing that we can do on our own. There's nothing that we can do. We need help. We need this protection as we receive this helmet. The older I get, the more I realize I need help in many areas of my life. And of course, this includes my spirituality. Functionally, like sort of like, okay, like for like a follower of Jesus, receiving this helmet guards our head, like it guards our mind, our identity, our hope. Without it, we are exposed to what? Like deception and Satan's attacks, and often they come in the form of lies. Lies, right? A few lies. You're not really forgiven, right? That would be one. You're not really forgiven. God has abandoned you. God's turned his back on you. Lie. Your future is hopeless. Lie. You're too far gone. Lie. Not you failed again in this area. Insert your personal struggle here. Lie. For me personally, like, that's how spiritual attack is expressed in my life. These little lies that come from Satan, like, it can be discouragement. FYI, pray for your pastors, 100% of them wrestle with discouragement, okay? It can come in little discouragement messages or lies, like, you're not worthy, you're not doing good enough. You're unloved, people don't like you. Your efforts are for naught. And so the enemy works his way into your head. Hence, this helmet of salvation is significant for a follower of Jesus. There's a young girl a few weeks ago, she had lies going on in her head, and we talked, and she says, Kyle, I'm not sure, I doubt all the time if I'm going to heaven daily. She wrestled with the idea that she was going to hell daily. She needed assurance of salvation. She needed this helmet of salvation on her. She needed to be exposed to the truth that the salvation through faith and relationship with Jesus Christ is her, come on, like, sort of like that, what sustains and maintains her. Okay, I'm going to follow God's lead for a second here, and a spirit moment. I was kind of wrestling whether I should share this or not, but we're going to go for it, all right? I want to share about the assurance of salvation that I believe in for infants and kids and youth, and how I believe they will be in heaven with Jesus if they sort of perish far too early. And I know this can trigger, like, kind of incredibly painful stories and experiences we deal with, but the reason I share this is to provide essentially, like, hope and encouragement. This young girl's story really put it into focus for myself, and I want to share a few thoughts with you around sort of like infants, kids, and youth, and salvation, and what it sort of interpretations around what it means to have separation from God. First of all, is this: I actually believe, like, teaching. And this is a certain interpretation, this is my viewpoint, like, teaching eternal torment is a form of spiritual abuse to kids and youth. And it won't happen in my ministry unless, like, God radically changes my mind and heart in this area with kids and youth. I just want you to think through why it's necessary or loving to teach kids or use this strategy or approach to get them to check a box off, I'm saved, through the means of telling them that they may spend eternity in eternal punishment apart from their parents, family, or friends if they don't accept Jesus into their hearts. Every kid's gonna put up their hand. Every kid's gonna put up their hand, and it is, I believe, a cruel form of coercion. How many times, I can ask, but how many times have you been scared into heaven during camps or conferences? I was many, many times. And my hand went up many, many times because I was scared of going to this eternal punishment type of place. Yikes. I think this is why theology and practical theology, how we interact with and apply our beliefs, are two different things. Matter for myself. Why some approaches in this area have done significant damage over the years with our kids and young people. A few short points of the whys from my end on where I sit with this issue personally. And I'm free to discuss. We can go for a coffee or a Slurpee. I don't like doing the email thing, okay? First one is this. Like, Jesus loves kids and young people, like, deeply. In Matthew, he just says, like, come to me. Whenever Jesus is interacting with kids, it's come to me. There's no boundaries. There's no, like, get yourself right with me before I interact with you. Like, you see it all throughout Scripture. Jesus is interacting, welcoming kids into his kingdom. Second one is this. I believe that God is fair and just. I don't believe God judges people based on what they don't understand. Okay, if you're tracking with that. I believe children and young people don't yet know enough to choose faith or rebellion or the consequences of their full actions. There's something called the age of accountability, and it's something that's been debated for thousands of years in the church, actually. We're not going to debate it right now. But why would God judge kids for something they can't understand or fully grasp yet? We don't let kids drive until they're 16 or drink until they're 19. Why? Because they can't grasp the consequences or weight of their decisions yet. I believe that God is fair and just in knowing and understanding this. Third one is this. The cross of Jesus is big enough for everyone. Jesus died for all, even those too young to understand. I believe his mercy covers young people completely. And the fourth one is it's just knowing the heart of God, knowing God's heart. He is loving and compassionate and merciful. I do not see or know a God in the Bible who would be vindictive towards kids and sending them to eternal torment and punishment. That is gnarly and unsettling in so many ways. And that is a fear-crippling interpretation, I believe. And so, this is the reason I say this is to sort of give you a bit of freedom and release, parents, grandparents, whoever. You don't have to be afraid for our kids if they don't say a certain prayer or phrase before a tragedy. I believe they are safe with Jesus in heaven, period. You're going to have a tough time convincing me otherwise. So there's many interpretations around what separation from God can look like. But ultimately, I want you to know this morning, Jesus loves our kids and they are safe with him. And today we focus on this. Listen to this, okay? We can know, we can be secure as well. The Apostle John writes, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. There is, again, this assurance and security that you can rest in as a follower of Jesus. Okay, two more key thoughts and applications around this helmet. Next slide, Noah. Okay, here we are. Who is that? Who is that, guys? Who is that? Dave, I see you, buddy. Okay, here it is. The helmet of salvation as your core identity, Christ. When you see Dave Dick in that helmet, you know he identifies as a firefighter. Right? It's because of the markings on the helmet, you know the shape of the helmet, you know his role, he provides safety and chaos, maybe puts out a fire too. Did you put out that fire, Dave? Okay. Okay, right, so you know. The point is this, you see a fireman's helmet, you know by the markings on it what his role is. He identifies as a firefighter. He provides protection. All right, Dave? Okay, he's a firefighter. The next one is this. Okay, when you see these dudes in their helmets and their markings on the side, okay, it tells you what? The logo tells you what? They identify as Sardis Falcons. Oh, GW, rough, rough game. Sorry, boys. Next time. But the point is this, right? It marks their identity and team. Right? It marks their identity. Team, the same was in the past, soldiers, different helmets had different markings. It marked who their king was. It marked what army they were a part of. In the same way, when we take the helmet of salvation, we're marked as belonging to Christ and his kingdom. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So you live out your identity. It's who you are. So when the enemy whispers about who you are and tries to identify you or define you by failures or different ways, you pledge your allegiance to the true King, Jesus Christ. Many things can pull you in different ways. Right? There's many things our culture wants you to identify as. Your work, your career, your success, your sexuality, validation from others, your health, your friends, your spouse, your kids, your athletics, schooling. There are a rightful place for a lot of these things, but ultimately your true and first allegiance is to Jesus Christ. So question for you, what would change in your week if you get up in the morning each morning and your thought was, I belong to Jesus Christ, I'm on Team Jesus, I identify as a Christian, it's my mark, I'm representing Him. How do you live out your week knowing that? Okay, second one of this, handle salvation as your protection in Christ. We've talked about this a little bit already. I'm not sure, I was a little bit like, oh man, should I be concerned that so many people at Crossroads are doing activities that require helmets? You guys, again, the helmet protects you in this battlefield. It protects you from again, the enemy, all these doubts and accusations. The helmet of salvation brings protection, reminding us that our story is secure in Christ. When our thoughts are anchored in Christ, peace guards us in our minds. I would encourage you, Crossroads, to remind yourself continually who Jesus is and what He's done for you. This is how how you wear the helmet of salvation. How this protection happens, and it's spiritual practices. So a few we'll put up there, rec practices, we could do scripture stuff, worship, gratitude, silence, prayer, confession. The list goes on. Help keep your thoughts anchored in this truth. So when and not if, the enemy attacks, it's a when thing, you have God's truth right there with you. You're mine, you're forgiven, you're loved. You matter deeply to me, rather than spiraling in negative self-talk, which will hurt yourself, relationship with God, it'll hurt your marriages, it'll hurt your friendships, it'll hurt us as a church when those things and thoughts come into our mind. Armor up, Crossroads, armor up, let's go. Last point before we close. I've been reading or listening. Does listening to an audible book count as reading? Or do you have to smell the pages of the book, right? it was the top one on the Audible charts. It's The Lenten Theory, a life-changing tool, millions of people can't stop talking about. It's I'm in. Changed my life. I'm curious about these things, all right? This book is built around kind of a simple idea, stop trying to control others and find peace by just letting people be who they are. And a lot of it is it's based around the mindset that sounds a lot like Stoicism, and she refers to this actually a few times as well. And if you don't know what Stoicism is, it's a philosophy that teaches kind of detachment and self-control. And I think this is actually a really prevalent way of living our life and culture right now. It's just kind of packaged up in different ways. But I wanted to sort of just compare and contrast two different ways of life or philosophies through this book and Christianity. It's just a few points because we're talking about the mind, what you're putting into the mind, and how is that different than being a follower of Jesus? Two real quick, okay? First one is this, the mind stuff. Stoicism says this. You can kind of hurt me, insult me, I will get through it, I will be unshaken through self-discipline. Paul says, put on the helmet of salvation, guard your mind, not through willpower, but through the assurance that you belong to Christ. So a Stoic would say that you look inward for strength. The Christian looks where? Looks upward, looks to Jesus for help. Second one is this, identity and security stuff. Stoic says, no one controls my inner life but me. Christian says, I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus Christ. Again, the helmet isn't just armor. It's a declaration of identity. It's who you are. So I know who I fight for, and I know who's fighting for me. So sort of this book, it actually has really good stuff in it that application piece, but it's not one of those pastor I'm not saying go read this. This is a good book as a Christian to read, but there are some good application pieces to it. But ultimately, both are trying to teach you how to guard your mind. But one depends on the strength of self, the other depends on the strength of a Savior. Okay. And so my point is sort of for myself, my personal experience as a human. I'm a follower of Jesus. I need a higher power and a higher strength to help me here on earth. I personally have come to that conclusion. I know that I cannot do it on my own through self-help books and self-things. I know that I need something else beyond. And for me, it is Jesus Christ, it's God, and this is my personal way to not only flourish in this life and get through this life, but have eternal security in Jesus Christ. So, like Crossroads, Jesus gives us this armor. Like, he's giving us this armor of God because he knows that we can't do it alone. Like, you're going to have lots of stuff out there that's going to say, you can, you just muscle up, right? Do these things. Jesus knows we can't do it alone. And we don't have to. We have his help. So if Jesus Christ, to close here, if he was really the Son of God, like raised from the dead, like scriptures are true, the Bible's true, then all this evil stuff, this death, is wiped out forever. Like, it's done with. Like, that is like the assurance that we have. Like, everything, and this is like the most spiritual way I can put it, everything will be all right. Like, that's it. I'm very simple. This is the most spiritual thing I can tell you. Everything's going to be all right. That's what the helmet of salvation does for us. Okay, so last question here. So the question, in a non-fear-driven and a non-eternal torment type of pressure way for you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you of your salvation? And 10 can be your forever answer because of Jesus. You can live forgiven and free. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, yeah, we don't need to deal with fear. We don't need to listen to the enemy's lies. We all face it, and our minds go in all sorts of different directions, telling us different lies, and they take different forms and shapes. Jesus, I pray that you just would strike those down. Help us to look to you for good example and truth and love and forgiveness and compassion and care. And if there's someone in this room right now who just needs to receive and sort of put on this helmet of salvation, Jesus, would this be that moment for them? Would you save their soul? We love you. Amen.